Welcome in. Welcome New York to episode 125. It's been a crazy week in the NYCFC world. We obviously had that whole rally at Citi Field. We go on and get a second consecutive dub, which I don't think has happened since like last May.
Second clean sheet as well.
And then if you follow us closely, you know we had the opportunity to head out to the NYCFC 2 game at Hartford, and we were able to record something at the game. So I think we're probably going to run that now, recap what was one of our craziest club experiences in general, and then we'll hop back in studio with you guys afterwards to talk about DC United. Yep.
This is our first ever, I guess, NYCFC 2 little clip. Obviously, thrilling win. We got to see it from our own backyard. Doesn't get better than that.
I can't imagine we'll ever see a cup set that played out the way that this one did. By the end of the game, we've got two Hartford players getting sent off. We've got an NYCFC player sent off. We've got security on the field. Obviously, we had Maximo out there. He goes and kind of seals this one, and the legend grows for that kid. And then we have Calhera too, draft pick for us. He's gotten right to business with NYCFC too, proving that maybe he should be in as much of the conversation as JJ is with getting up to first team.
Definitely. He's got the build for it. He looks like a proper player. He's got confidence. I think watching this team above all makes me really, really excited about the future and what this club could be, specifically when we're looking at 2027. Because it seems like as a team, as an organization, that's kind of where everybody's vision is right now, is what is this team going to look like in 2027, you know, the first team, and how many of these kids can we develop for that season?
That's the question. And how many of these kids are we going to potentially overdevelop and we'll lose them by the time we get to the stadium?
I mean, there's people taking bets on, you know, if Maximo is going to be here.
Shout out Happo. I honestly don't know his real name, but I know his Twitter handle. And he was saying he listened to our last episode and he thinks we're completely wrong in the fact that Maximo will play at the stadium. I think it was me that said that. But he says there's no chance that Maximo, at the trajectory he's going, will end up playing in that stadium for us, just because by that point, who knows where he'll be. He could be in Europe.
I mean, you have examples of it, like Gio and Scali, who never really played for us, never really wore the badge, and they were able to go get tickets, secure tickets to Europe, right? So you have a kid who has been putting in a ton of time with NYCFC 2, obviously getting important minutes. Like the coach said today, 90 plus 30, the ability to do that, the ability to have that second wind, he's showing characteristics of a player that can be a super, super high ceiling type of player.
And we got the opportunity to talk to Matt, ask him some questions, and we'll roll that footage.
Hey, Coach. Hey. Congrats on the win.
Thank you.
I think a lot has been said about first teams choosing to not participate in the tournament, but I don't think enough has been said about the development factor that it provides for younger kids within the system. I'm just wondering if you could speak more to that and what you think that brings for those players.
Yeah, it's a massive opportunity for players to develop. And I don't think we give enough attention to all the MLS Next Pro teams and other teams in this competition, because they don't often get to play USL teams or teams within the structure of the US. So I do think we should be celebrating this opportunity and celebrating the fact that we have young teams and young players of 16 years old, 17 years old, competing against seasoned pros, and how that's going to help their development. It's going to help the development of the league. It's going to help the development of the country. So the more opportunities we can give to these players, the better.
And then I was wondering, what is the process, if any, or if you had any conversations with the first team about potentially bringing certain players up to participate there?
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. You know, Maximo spends a lot of time training with the first team. Obviously, he did preseason there. Christian has been on the bench a lot for the first team. I mean, we had some of these players on the bench for the first team. They're very heavily involved in the training, constantly training with the first team and in and around it. So it's a constant process. And you know, Christian McFarlane, who has spent more time with the first team. We're hoping then to create opportunities for other players to follow him and get up there, but not just get up there to train, but get up there to get on the bench and hopefully get some minutes and make an impact at some point.
Awesome. Thank you for the time.
He spoke to the fact that this is kind of invaluable experience. There's really no other way to get it than doing things like this. And in that way, it is kind of a good thing that the first team is not participating. And, you know, I'm not sure you get thrilling games like this if we roll in or if other MLS teams roll in with their stacked rosters. You know, imagine like an LAFC playing like a Hartford Athletic. You're never going to get it down to the 120th minute,
right?
3-2, 2-2, kind of fighting for your lives, because they would just literally get stomped otherwise.
I mean, literally fighting.
Yeah.
This one literally ended with them fighting for their lives.
Literally, yeah.
You know.
We didn't even mention an assistant manager got sent off.
That's really when things started to go downhill. You have these kids playing against older, much more physical, journeyman-type players, and it's really shocking. I mean, it's like us showing up to the park and thinking that we can play with dudes that play in the league. They're just so much better physically, but I think the mentality showed through, the technical ability, you know, the coaching above all was like night and day to maybe some of the things that we've seen in the rest of the organization. I think the ability to use subs, the impact that subs made, and the impact that being a leader made all shined tonight. I mean, in a super rainy day.
It did give me a bit of comfort in the fact that I think we have a lot of resources that we could rely on if we have to make pivots on the first team. And, you know, whether that is players like getting a JJ or a Calhera up, who both now have, I think Calhera has 3 goals in the last 7 days, and JJ in the last like 10 days has 5 goals and 2 assists, you know, whatever it is. We do have kind of a support system of the second team, and I kind of want to see us use it more.
You got to at least start looking at, crack the book open and start looking at it, because we have to start doing things that benefit the first team. I know that this is fun to come to, and obviously being with the fans is fun, but at the end of the day, this is all to support the main team and the first team grow. So, like you said, I'm looking for these dudes to be contributing soon.
And now I'm even looking more forward to the game on Saturday. And I think maybe one thing that's lost with NYCFC too is how much closer it can actually bring you to the first team as well, despite it being a whole different group of guys and kind of having a different vibe too. So if people don't currently tune into the second team, I probably don't tune in as much as I should. I should say, after seeing something like this and them coming together after the goal is scored, after Maximo rips that volley and kind of celebrating with the fans on every goal that they got. And then once the whistle goes, them all kind of running over and then running through the dap-up line with all the all the traveling support. That's a special moment. And I'm not sure that we've had a moment like that with the first team in a while. So it kind of felt due to have one of those NYCFC experiences. And I'm glad that we got it.
So that's kind of our recap on the night in Hartford. We found out, I've been honestly cooking this one since we got here, and I'm happy that I can actually use it. I may have lost $30 doing it, but I can use this line. The boys in blue were able to do it on a cold, rainy night in Hartford.
Yes.
And with that,
we leave you.
We're going to leave you to our regular episode for the game after Saturday. So you guys will see us maybe not as happy, maybe a little bit distraught. Hopefully a win versus DC and 3 more points for the main boys.
Yeah, see you guys in the studio.
See you, peace.
That, I will say, was probably one of the coldest games I've been to outside of like the New England game.
New England 2021 away, a part of that Road Dog Championship tour, was brick.
That was brick. I mean, it really was the win for this one. It wasn't until the goals started going in that I really started to feel warm. But there's a funny, if you go and watch the highlights of the game that were posted on YouTube, like you see the final, the winner go in, and like everyone's sprinting to celebrate with the team, and I'm literally standing there like just bricked up. Not bricked up, that's crazy.
We'll have to clip it and
cold. Post it.
I didn't get a chance to watch the highlights. So I'll have to check it out. Maybe we'll put that over the episode. But
yeah, it was wild.
And I think sticking on the page of NYCFC 2, they're the last MLS Next Pro team, the last 2 team in the tournament. And we got drawn a very favorable matchup for the next round. So from our understanding, I guess it will be at Belsen. It's going to be May 7th or 8th. And it's against the Colorado Switchbacks.
Which it's a dope name.
They're still in the USL, same level as Hartford. But they're in the Western Conference and they're dead last. Through 5 games, they have 0 points. So a much easier game than Hartford was.
You'd hope so. And you have Crizzo going and scoring again today in a 2-0 win. I just think that that team's super, super confident. They're as together as a team can be. I think their youth helps their case a lot because there's really no egos. There's no, like, star boy. Mm. There are a few, but at the end of the day, they understand that they're working together and not just for themselves. All together, like, I could see this team doing some Cinderella shit. Like, mm-hmm. This is a team. If there's any team to do it, it's going to be this team.
I think odds will probably not agree with us, but I like our chances a lot in the next round. And then I think we had a renewed sense of optimism going into the first team's game against DC.
Right.
Kind of the fairy tale that is the stadium getting literally signed into history, yeah. Into officialness at the stadium in front of everybody and at that rally is insane and a day that a lot of people won't forget. So between the good vibes of the second team and then that, it made me unreasonably probably optimistic for the result we got against DC United in the end.
Even before that, I was telling you last week, I'm not worried about Benteke. I'm not worried about this DC team. I don't care how they're doing on the road, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, there's too many things going into this game. And this was even before, obviously, the Hartford win. There's too many things going into that game for it to not be a win. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that the team was going to perform as well as they did. But I thought that there was no way that we were going to let DC come in and take anything from that game.
And I thought Kush cooked correctly in this one. And really, it all kind of kicked off with back-to-back lineups. In previous episodes, we talked about maybe wanting to drop Hanez. Also, that Tavon should be starting over Alenic. But in both cases, Kush got it right, keeping those guys in.
For sure, 100%.
Hanez was electric.
Maybe his best game.
And he goes and gets his first goal creation, that assist that, you know, was also... Baki got the hockey assist on it, the second assist on it, with that hold-up play playing it to Hanez, and then Hanez gets it to Santi. We should have scored probably four goals in the first half.
100%, yeah. I think with a striker that's got more confidence in terms of putting it in the back of the net, you can see that Muntsev has confidence to pull up and take shots and things like that. It hasn't fallen in the back of the net. But had we had a nine that was putting in the back of the net, or... you know, other players in those positions at the end of those shots, you're probably looking at 3-4-0 quick.
And that's how it started to unravel once we started to get other people on the ball. Obviously, Hanez and Santi involved, and then late in the game, Julian comes in, and again, that was the person we would have elected to start over Hanez, but it worked out in this way. And I think if he is going to continue now to fill that role of the sub that can come in and like reliably get you a goal,
right.
Obviously he's not going to score one every game. But that's the pace he's on.
He has the talent to, for sure.
So for him to do that, I think if it ain't broke, you don't fix it.
No.
At this point, I'm happy with what Alenic offered. He looked to be playing probably his best game that we've ever seen from him. I'm trying to think of other standout games that we might have seen, and I think there's been a few moments here and there, or a group of minutes, maybe 20, 30 minutes, or a half, where he looked great, but. Just consistency-wise for the whole game, there was no issues.
He looked really good. I think the team as a whole looked really good. And that speaks volumes to Cushing that, look, this is the second game in a row that you go and get a win. Second game in a row, you get a clean sheet. Mm-hmm. Two games in a row, Julian gets a goal. Second game in a row that Santi's cooking. Like, this has to stick again. I wouldn't be super mad at him if he doesn't start Ojeda again. I think like that performance really didn't say a lot, but then again, taking him off like you did, that worked as well, right? So like I think going into the next game, you gotta cook the same lineup.
But is it finally time to remove Baki from the 11?
I don't think so. Obviously we have the scene of him on the bench, super bummed out. I wanna see 45 minutes of what that motivates him to do. Like, does, you know, head in hands, does that make Muntsev go and score a hat trick in the next game? Like, I think that that's something
we know
that you need to see. You need to see that out. And you give him 45 minutes to do it. And if it doesn't happen, he's off at halftime.
He'll absolutely have a hat trick of opportunities. He's had that every single game.
And I mean, he's been, creating them for himself, creating them for the team. Like, it's not for a lack of trying.
Well, that's kind of the catch with him, is you can't live without him and you can't live with him.
Right.
Because if you take him off, that Santi goal doesn't happen.
Right.
It really doesn't. And there's a ton of other opportunities, and obviously that was the only one that ended up in the back of the net, but there's a lot of production that is going missing if Baki's not on that field. And if he's on the field, there's a lot of production that is being created, and there's no end result for
right.
it. Personally, I can kind of see it both ways. I didn't think about that. I do like the idea of maybe just giving him a minute cap. If
yeah.
for whatever reason, Jovan can't go for 45, which I guess it's in the realm of possibility with everything that's happened. I don't know to what level he trained while he was stuck in Serbia. Yeah. And I also wouldn't hate Jovan coming in and being the starter, but right. also being on that minute cap. Maybe whoever plays first is only going to get that 45, and like that's what it's going to be like until one of you decides to be the guy.
I do think the other part is, and I'll give kind of a disclaimer before I say this. We haven't seen much of Jovan. Obviously, he was gone for a while. Mm-hmm. He played a small amount of minutes last night. Watching him, though, I don't know that I necessarily see the things that are positive about Mounsef in him. In his movement, his like off-the-ball movement, and just his ability to fit into what the offense looks like, I don't necessarily see that from him. His runs really weren't anything special. I felt like on the Julian goal specifically, his movement was horrible. Like, he didn't affect that play at all, positive or negative. Like, he just was a non-factor in it. And he was among the three attackers that we had.
Kind of watching the play, not...
Literally watching it. Yeah. Like, I know it's hindsight 2020, but I think I would like him to kind of pull off of the defenders a little bit, give Julian an option if the shot isn't going to be there, which I feel like Mounsef would have done.
We see a level of pressing from Baki too that is super impressive.
Yeah.
The press last night in general was the type of press that won us a championship back in 2021. Mm-hmm. You saw Baki attack the keeper on that opportunity where Hannes probably should have had a shot from way out with the goalkeeper back towards him, yeah. running towards the goal. But that is something Tati did. Like, when he would go and play that pressure against the goalkeeper, and like somehow he gets like a little nick on the ball as they're trying right. to clear it, and then it falls to like a Maxi. I think it will be a harsh reality to see how much less is being created in the attack if you take out the guy
who's creating a lot.
Yeah, who's yeah. creating a lot and not finishing.
Legitimately an engine up mm-hmm. there. Like, I think the broadcasters were talking about just his work rate and saying how much of his game he's doing correctly besides scoring, which yeah. like for a striker, I mean, it's literally like saying that guy's really good at cooking. He hasn't been able to yeah. figure out the stove
just
yet.
Tastes like shit at the end.
He just, the stove and him just don't combine.
Yeah.
But look, at the end of the day, I think it'll fall. I went down this weird rabbit hole before the game where like, I feel like we were at a high with the NYCFC 2 game. And for some reason, I went looking through old NYCFC highlights. And dude, that just brought me down to here. So when we actually came out and we were performing well, that was the biggest boost for me. Just seeing back in the day when it was like Villa, Lampard, Pirlo. And like, I have this weird view of that where I didn't think they were really cooking like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were really yeah. cooking.
I mean, we were fun to watch for the first time. I don't remember the last time I honestly had fun watching this. I think because last season was just all of a blur, kind of.
I felt like getting this win kind of lifted even more weight off of my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like this season was just going in a direction that was not going to be able to be recovered. I was like, this season's over. Like, it's scrapped.
Week 6.
And like, over. That's crazy to think week 6, 7, 8, whatever it is. But genuinely, it was like, this team is not going to be able to win. This is like kind of paying for your sins of 2021 and 2022, mm-hmm. like specifically 2022, when we really did not deserve to be where we were. I was like, damn, we're really paying for that shit right now. but I don't know, this maybe fills me with false hope. I don't know how you feel, but I think that this team playing the way that they did last night, when you consider the fact that, you know, we need a striker that's going to produce still, like that's still a question mark. Mm-hmm. We have a Maxi coming back. We're going to have a window at some point. All of those things to me, I feel like are very positive.
No, I feel very similar. We've always kind of been in the give Cushing the benefit of the doubt position. And I would love nothing more than for him to go on and have an incredible season. I think every fan should feel that way. Yeah. I think there's maybe been some sentiments that if we get a few wins, then all that is really doing is increasing Cushing's leash, and we'll eventually end up in the same position of needing to fire him, but now we're pushing plans back by doing good now. And I think I would prefer to just be in a position where I'm rooting for the team to win regardless, no matter what, and being happy when they do. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like, it's hard to look too far ahead because, like, we could just have another weeks 1-6 that we saw where we were, what, 0-4-2. We had four losses, two ties. That could be the next 6 weeks. And then what? Then we're kind of back at square one. So I'm optimistic as well, but I'm just trying to enjoy the winning moments that we're in.
I think it's going to continue. Mm-hmm. I think it has to
continue. I do too. I do.
Like, for not only the team, but for Cushing, like, it has to continue. I think we have two or three home games left in a row.
Yep.
We're playing Charlotte next week, who the last I checked was losing 3-0 to Minnesota. This has to be a win again. And personally, I know Charlotte has been like a tough opponent for us. I just don't, there's not a world that I see us not leaving with something.
And Charlotte's never played at Yankee Stadium. I think we probably trade records with them this year. We probably win this one. And maybe the small field is a part of that equation. We did our best at the Hartford game. We had some alone time with the club staff. We got to sit somewhat pitch side, not great seats. Like Key mentioned, the Hartford setup was kind of fucked up, to be honest.
It was not great.
Sight lines were not there, but we did get a little bit of one-on-one, and we of course threw some content ideas at the team, and we were like, what can we do and what can we not do? And we've had this little harebrained scheme for a little while to have a extremely ridiculous video where we're lab coat and goggles up. We're at Yankee Stadium. We have like 1,000 yardsticks. We're like, we're going to bust the myth today. Like, we're going to tell all of you why your small field excuse is stupid and run one by one, lay the yardstick. Maybe we have cool drone footage or something of us doing it. And we're like, look, it's legit. And we pitched this idea to the team. And almost before we could even get out the absurdity of it, absolutely not.
Yeah, definitely not. Never.
Absolutely not. That can't happen. Yeah. I understand why you would want to, but that not. That can't happen. Yeah,
instantly no. You know what we did not get a no to, though, is very early on I said, hey, just to let you know, there's a certain somebody playing the TST who is now fit and available.
Yeah.
And just so happens to have, I would say, a somewhat decent rapport within City Football Group.
Mm-hmm. Well, are we allowed to say what his name rhymes with? Shmagiro? Shmagiro? Does that even rhyme?
No. And it's not a word.
Well, yeah, that's obvious. I don't think there is a word that rhymes.
He has maybe Manchester City's like top three moment ever in club history.
Yes.
So I pitched to them.
Bringing the lad in.
Bringing Sergio Aguero in.
Yeah, you know? Just put it on the table.
Just put it out there, and I will say
there wasn't enough
from sources. There, I did not get a no.
Sources, it was not a no. So maybe that's in the cards. But the field measuring will not happen.
Will not happen.
So you know, that's our bad. But we threw ourselves in the ring.
Look, you got to throw darts and see what sticks.
And then I think we have something else coming up probably soon. I don't know if we're at a point yet. Where we could share.
Well, I mean, we can share what it is, but not necessarily the prize behind it.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm just...
We'll announce that another time.
Maybe I'm just concerned about the idea floating in the NYCFC sphere.
That's fair.
Unbabysat.
Yeah.
Unbabysat. So something big coming, I think it'll be an event of some kind involving us, and we can say that, and it'll probably be the biggest, I mean, not only the first and only event we've ever done, but the biggest one. That makes it the biggest one. So we look forward to sharing that news with you guys, and might be at the Charlotte game. I know we haven't discussed it.
That's the one I can't.
Damn.
That's the one I can't.
I might have to.
I will be without service as well, so
I might have to rewatch the game. Because I don't know. I feel like we have a
I hate missing
spiritual connection to the Carolinas for some reason.
I know that Baker Mayfield guy. No, I mean, I've said it a million times. That's probably like a top three atmospheres I've been in terms of soccer match. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'll give them their credit, but their fans are idiots. So
yeah. So that's 125. I think we got it all off our chest. We have some big things coming, and we'll keep you guys informed as we can.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you've made it this far, I know last week we actually had somebody comment.
Multiple, although one was kind of cheesy. Girlfriends don't count.
Yeah. If you made it to this point, just comment Aguero. Make all the people who did not watch this far very confused.
Yeah. It's Aguero coming to NYC.
And follow us anywhere that you get a podcast. Follow us on X. Mm-hmm. It's so weird to say X. Yeah. I wish it was just Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. That's where you'll be able to join the conversation, kind of talk to us and bounce ideas off each other. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, peace.
Peace.